if this works. Yeah, tonight we're going to talk about what bracha you say on medicine. It seems that every week I start with a disclaimer. I'm going to start with a gigantic disclaimer this week. These sheets that I give you in advance, baruch haba, welcome to the neighborhood. How are you? So the sheets that I generally give out each week are a very, very rough first draft of an essay, probably for the next sefer. This one, I just really didn't have time today. So this was like 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. So if there's stuff that's repetitive in it or that doesn't make any sense, forgive me. We'll try to work through the sugya together. For some reason, I had a very hard time with the sugya. I found the sugya to be very difficult. So maybe together we'll be able to figure out how to make heads or tails of what's going on here. It's one of those nights where if we had svarim out of boxes, it might be helpful to consult from time to time. But, all right, Nunu. So, what? We have our school tomorrow. Yeah. So if we get really desperate, we'll... all right. The idea of medication that tastes good and whether one should say a bracha on the medicine that tastes good is somewhat of a new idea in the sense that we have these commercially produced medications that are made as medication. People always had therapies and things that they would do to feel better, much like we, have hot tea with honey when our throat hurts, or chicken soup when you have a cold, or something like that. But the idea, the idea of a nice tasting medication, grape flavored, whatever, or orange flavored medication that people will take, is somewhat of a newish idea. And to figure out how that fits into Hilchos Brachos is not always so easy. It's not only Hilchos Brachos that is affected by what we call a food and what we don't call a food. Hilchos Shabbos is affected by what we would call a medicine and what we would call a food. For example, you're certainly allowed to eat chicken soup on Shabbos, even if you're not feeling well. But you're not supposed to take medicine on Shabbos, except for all the exceptions when you are allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. It's like, yeah, how do you summarize the halachas of taking medicine on Shabbos? You're not allowed to, except you are. But there are circumstances where you're actually not allowed to take medicine on Shabbos. So it relates to Hilchos Shabbos. Hilchos Kashrus is probably relevant over here, because something that's taken as a food obviously needs a hashgacha. If it's not taken as a food, it's taken as a medication, and it's not derech achila, so that would mean no bracha. Would mean doesn't need to be kosher. It would mean that it would be asur to take on Shabbos. So all of these areas of halacha are affected by really this one central question of, do you consider this a food or do you not consider it a food? The example that we've given many times in the past, not medicine related, but just do you consider it a food or not, is the Listerine strip question. Every year before Yom Kippur, I get, I don't know, dozen, two dozen texts and emails. Is it true if Shechter holds you're allowed to have Listerine strips on Yom Kippur? I heard he changed his mind. I heard he changed his mind back. I unless I'm sitting with him, while I'm getting the emails, I can never know what his most current opinion is on the topic. But what's the whole issue of whether you can have them on a fast day, whether you have to say a bracha on them, and whether they need to be kosher? L'chora, it's all the same issue. Is it a food or is it not a food? Are they these tiny little sucking candies or is it mouthwash? It's not a food at all. It's like toothpaste. So if you say that it's like toothpaste, it doesn't need hashgacha and it doesn't, and you wouldn't say a bracha on it. But if you hold that, and you'd be allowed to have it on a fast day, but if you hold it's a food, it needs a bracha, can't have it on a fast day, and it would need to be kosher. But specifically when it comes to Hilchos Brachos in medicine, it becomes more complicated, because it's not just that one issue of, is the item a food or is it not a food? Because let's say it is a food. Let's say it's something that you are enjoying and on a certain level is a food. So what bracha do you say on the medicine? So what do you mean what bracha? What bracha do you say on the medicine? What's in it? Right? Meaning if the medicine is made with vegetables, so you say adam, and if it's made with grain, you say mizonos, no? So is that necessarily so poshut? Or what happens if you have medication that has, like we have very often nowadays, where all the active ingredients, which we would normally call the ikker, the reason you're taking it, the reason you're putting this thing in your mouth, all the active ingredients taste disgusting, and they just put enough flavor in it so that you could tolerate it, that you're willing to consume it, so whatever tastes good in it is not the ikker. It's the stuff that they put in just so that you will be willing to take the medication, especially when it comes to children's medications. Because children's medications, they do whatever they can to make the children want to take it. Sometimes they do too good a job and kids just want to take their medicine. There's this awful cough medicine, Delsum, that my kids, like, they would pretend they had coughs, but like, they loved it. I tasted it once, disgusting, but they loved the flavor of the medication. So all of that has to be discussed. There are two sugyas in Shas that are just three blot apart from each other, 2.5 blot apart from each other, that discuss this. These are the two passages you see on the bottom of page one over here. Let's go through these two passages and see where that leads us, and you know, go from there in terms of. One other thing I forgot to mention, and sometimes not only is it the medication they have to question, but it's also, let's say you're taking a pill where there's definitely no bracha, because a pill is not derech achila at all, you're swallowing it, but you're taking it with water. So does the water get a bracha when you're taking a pill with water? What if it's carbonated water? What if it's, you know, nowadays they call anything water. You have something that tastes like orange soda, or it tastes like, but it's they can make it clear, you know, like those clear choice sodas. If it was green, you'd call it soda, you know, but it's not green, it's clear, but it tastes like it could be green, you know, so is that considered water? And if does water get a bracha in that context? Okay, so let's start with the sugyas. There are two sugyas in Shas over here. Number one is the sugya in Brachas Taf Lamed Hem. Dave, let's take a look. Gufa. Amr Vidom Rishmol, V'chein Amr Bitzak Amr B'yochanan. Shemen Zayis M'varchan Alav Bari Priya Eitz. If you have olive oil, you come home from work one day, you're exhausted, you need to open up a can of olive oil or a jar of, I don't know what they come in, olive oil, you guzzle some olive oil, the bracha is Bari Priya Eitz. Says the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Hey Chidami, Ilim Dekashas Ilei. If you're drinking olive oil, so Zuke Mazik Lei, so then something's wrong with you, because that would only damage you, would only hurt you. You don't drink olive oil. So there's no way you say a bracha on something that's definitely not a food that's eaten plain. El dekach le'al de pas. No, the case is you're eating the olive oil together with bread. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, they put out some bread on the table at the beginning, and there are these little white dishes usually with stuff in them. And it's like, I'm never sure like what that is. Sometimes it's just olive oil. It's nothing fancy. It's just so it's just something you dip the bread in, so the bread is a little moist when you put it in your mouth. So you eat it al yidei pas. That's the case of the olive oil where you say Bari Priya Eitz. Says Gemara, Ihachi havi lepas ikur v'hu tafel. You wouldn't say Bari Priya Eitz on bread dipped in olive oil. You would say a motzi lechem and aretz on bread dipped in olive oil. It's not zakal kol shu yikr v'imot tefelim varichal yikr poter as a tefela. Of course, the bracha is on the yikr, not on the tafel. So, what's the case of the olive oil that you say Bar Priya Eitz? El dekashasile al yidei anigron. You drink it as part of an anigron mixture. Anigron is some other type of beverage that you would mix olive oil in. Still, the anigron would be the ikr, the olive oil would just be to help it along. So you should only make a bracha on the ikr. Says the Gemara, now the case is, your throat hurts. And that's why you're putting some olive oil in your anigron, because anigron plain is not going to do anything for your throat. Olive oil plain is disgusting. So you put some olive oil in your anigron, now it has therapeutic value, it helps your throat feel better. Titania, hachoshish begrona, lo ya'arenu, b'shemen tchila b'shabbos. If your throat hurts, and here the Gemara explicitly associates the halacha of brachos with the halacha of Shabbos, that if your throat hurts, do not use oil to gargle on Shabbos. Avonosin shemen harbe litoch anigron uvaleya, make a food out of it. Put it with a nigron, and now it will have the therapeutic value, and you could eat it like you would eat a normal food. So it says, pshita, isn't it obvious then that you would say a Bari Priya Eitz? Normally the anigron is the ikr when anigron is mixed with olive oil. But since your kavana is for refuah, that makes the olive oil the ikr, and therefore you're going to recite a Bari Priya Eitz on the olive oil. Says Mar Pshita, of course you will. So Gemara says, no, Maldutema Kivan de Lurafua Kamechavin La Liver Chale Klal. I might think that since you're taking it for the sake of Rafua, there's no bracha. Kamashman Kivan Disle Hanamine Boy Bruche. Since you are benefiting from it, there is Hana'a, you say a bracha. If this is the only Gemara that we have, What's the rule? Do you say a bracha when you take medicine or not? So what the Gemara doesn't speak about medicine, it speaks about something that is a food that has therapeutic value, right? And you're only taking it because of its therapeutic value. So the active ingredient, so to speak, which over here is the olive oil, is disgusting. You can't eat it on its own. So you mix it with a food, but you're really after the active ingredient. So do you recite a bracha? So it seems yes. And what's the bracha on? The food part or the active ingredient part? Right? So it sounds from here, the bracha is on the active ingredient. It's on the olive oil. It's a bar priya eitz. So what does that mean for us? You want to have... So chicken soup is a no-brainer, right? You make the bracha in the chicken soup. Hot cup of tea, you make a bracha in a hot cup of tea. Let's say you have a medication that has flavoring in it to make it taste good. So you have the flavoring, which actually tastes good. The medication that doesn't taste good, it's not a food, but it's made of, let's say, grain. Let's say it's a grain-based medication. So l'chora, the answer should be that the bracha is bar minei mizonos, right? Or if it's a fruit-based medication, so then the bracha should be on the medication because that becomes your ikar, right? That's what it seems from this Gemara. So you say a bracha on something, and it's explicit that when you're taking a refuah, you say a bracha. The Gemara says, I might have thought there's no bracha on a refuah. No, Kamash Mlon, yes, there is. There's a bracha on a refuah. In fact, Tosfos points out on the spot, V'nirin advarm din adam shosem mashkin, ima mashkin ra'im lishtos, deles le'ana mine lo bai bruche. If you're just drinking the something awful tasting, you don't get a bracha at all. It doesn't need a bracha at all. But v'yis le'ana mine below a refuah bai bruche. If it's something that would have been enjoyable even without its therapeutic value, it would require a bracha. But the fact that it has therapeutic value, and that's your kavana in taking it, means that the bracha is on the part that has therapeutic value. So that's one Gemara. That's one Gemara. Then we have another Gemara. And this is where it gets tricky. The Gemara tells us on Lamed Chesam and Aleph, and it's on the bottom part of page one over here. Shasisa. Rav Amar Shakol Niyabidvar Shmuel Am Brahmin Mizonos. Some dish called Shasisa. Rav says that you say Shahakol, Shmuel says Mizonos. Amar Rav Chista Velo Pligi. They're not arguing. It sounds like they're arguing. No, Haba Ava Haba Raka. One of them is talking about a thicker form of this dish, and the other is talking about a more liquidy form of this dish. Avala Achila Avdila, Raka Lirafua Ka Avdila. If it's a thicker form of the dish, you make it for eating. If it's a thinner form of the dish, a more liquidy form of the dish, it's made for the sake of refuah. Masav Rav Yosef v'shavin shaboch shenas hashasos b'shabes v'sholzen zisim amitzri v'yisal kadaitach l'refuah k'machavim refuah b'shabes mishari. The Gemara says, but wait, aren't you allowed to take it on Shabbos? If your kavan is for refuah, how are you allowed to take it on Shabbos? So the Gemara says, well, no, it's a food, so you're allowed to take it on Shabbos. But... If you go further in the Gemara, Lishna Achrina, Elamayas Lech Lememer, Gavra Lachila Kamachavin Rufuah Memele Kavya, Hachanami Lachila Kamachavin Rufuah Memele Kavya. If you're eating it as a food, and the food just happens to come. Utsricha Derav, Diime Hai Hava Amina Lachila Kamachavin Rufuah Memele Kavya, Aval Hacha, Kivin de Lechachila Rufuah Kamachavin Lelivracha Leklal, when your intention is for the sake of Rufuah, I might have thought that there's no bracha at all. That's why it teaches us that since there is some hana'a from it, you say a bracha. But wait a second. What bracha do you say if you're taking it for a fool? We're talking about a dish that's made with chamesha saminim, that's made with one of the five grains. One of the basic halachas and ilchas brachas, except for the exceptions, one of the basic halachas and ilchas brachas is kol sheyeshba mechamesh saminim, anything that has any of the five grains, we ignore all the normal rules of ikar and tafel, majority, minority. If it has one of the five grains, automatically, borei minei mizonos. That's the big sichsuch about schnitzel, right? Is it? Do you say that over there, it's so obviously a tafel that the amount of flour, the amount of grain is so obviously secondary to the food that it would defy that rule. But the fact that there are poskim that say, no, there's no defying that rule. Anything that has chameshes minim, even if it's just a little bit of thin breading on a chicken cutlet, anything that has chameshes minim is automatically mizonos. And I would even argue, now's not the time to talk about the schnitzel shayla, but I would even argue that it really depends what your own experience with schnitzel is. Meaning, if you're an Israeli and you've been to yeshivas in Israel or the fast food places in Israel, or you eat chicken cutlets that your wife made from one of the fancy cookbooks that were put out by art school or something in the past couple of years, where the breading has like 8 ingredients and is and is extremely delicious. Meaning, so sometimes we have chicken cutlets where the breading is like, it's corn flake crumbs and it's spicy and it's got all sorts. So to say that that's such a tuffle that there's no bracha, that's probably. I make a mizonos on it. I can't imagine not making a mizonos on something like that. Not cornflake crumbs, but pretzel crumbs, things like that. I would make a mizonos on it. If it's a little bit of flour, just so that the thing doesn't burn in the pan, okay, then I understand. All the poskim say many of the poskim say that it would be a shahakal. But that's beside the point. Whenever you have anything that's chameshes minim, the rule is always bar minim mizonos, right? And yet, what does the Gemara say over here? If you're having it as a food, yeah, follow the rule, bar minim mizonos. But if you're having it for refuah, shakol niyeh b'dvaro. But it's got mine dagan in it. Why are you saying shakol niyeh b'dvaro? Apparently what emerges from this Gemara is that, yeah, you say bracha in medicine, but the bracha is always going to be shakol. Meaning we're not interested in hilchos brachos in medicine. The halach is always going to be shakol. You just say a bracha. Whereas the first Gemara sounded like, you say a bracha, and the bracha is going to be ha'etz. The bracha is going to be on whatever that... The bracha is going to be ha'etz, because that's what Shemen Zayis really is, meaning that we actually follow the Hilchos brachos. So Tosus is bothered by this seeming stira. And l'chora, there are three ways to resolve the stira. Over here, I only had a chance to write down two of them, but there are three ways to resolve the stira. One is that when you're taking something for medicine, you make a bracha on the active ingredient, period. Active ingredient in the first Gemara was Shemen Zayis, so the bracha is Bar Priyayis. Active ingredient in the second Gemara was not the grain, so the bracha is Shakal Nebidvaru. It was the non-grain part that was the active ingredient, so the bracha would be Shakal Nebidvaru. And that's why we said that if you thin it out, that it's going to be the refuah, because you have less grain, you're emphasizing the refuah more. But Tosa says, no, the difference is drink versus food. So it says, if it's a food, you say a bracha on whatever its bracha should be. If it's a drink, it's always going to be shahakal. That's an interesting chiddush. This relates to what we spoke about last week a little bit. How do you define what's a drink and what's a food? Is it purely based on liquid versus solid? Is that a drink, meaning many nafkaminas, whether something is considered a drink or a food? For example, like we discussed last week, how much do you have to be chayv in a bracha achrona? So if it's a food, kazayis. If it's a drink, vias. What's the relationship between a vias and a kazayis? A kazayis is a chatzi beitza or a shlish beitza, either a half or a third of an egg. A revias is a beitza or mechza. So it's a huge difference, huge difference. So do we consider, how much soup do you have in order to be chayv in a bracha achrona? A revias because it's a liquid, or a kazayis because it's soup, and soup is not a beverage, it's not a drink. We discussed last week, Rav Schechter has that interesting piece in the Sefer Bikvei Tzon, which is in box number or whatever, where he suggests that it doesn't depend on liquid solid at all. What's considered a beverage, what's considered a mashkel, what's considered an ochel, depends entirely on whether you consider it a beverage. That was the major... kula that the Kajah Glover Gon, Varya Tzvi Frumer, wanted to suggest why Hasidim are allowed to say Kiddush and Schnapps, on a shot glass of Schnapps. He says, a shot glass is a kazayis. It's barely a kazayis. Definitely not a revias. So, Mehechi Tesi, you could say Kiddush on a shot glass of Schnapps. So that's Varya Tzvi Frumer in the Eretz Tzvi says, because Schnapps is not a beverage. You would never drink it because you're thirsty. You would never drink it to wash down food. You drink it when you want to feel in a certain state of mind or whatever. You want to feel the burn in the throat or something. I don't know. You drink it for... I don't drink it. You drink it for other reasons. So it's not a beverage. Mel shiro b'kazayis, and that's why they could have a shaklas. So Rav Shachter points out that Rav Chaim Volozhin has said that it's such a good defense. It's a kasha on the whole, meaning lishitaso. It's terrible. It's a terrible thing to make kiddush on, because if you're not going to say kiddush on wine, you at least have to say kiddush on chamar medina. What's the definition of Chamar Medina? So the very basic definition, before you get into is tea, is coffee, is beer, is orange juice, is that, before you get into any of that, the very basic definition is, it has to be a drink. If it's not a drink, then it's not eligible to be Chamar Medina. Like to give the mashal of like the Chacham Tzvi's tshuva about whether you can count a golem to a minion. Right, Chacham Tzvi was asked, can you count a golem to a minion? By the way, it's one of the better rayas that the Maharal never made a golem, is that when the Chacham Tzvi was asked, can you count a golem to a minion, after he gives his tshuva, he says, and don't think there was never such a thing as a golem, because, and he quotes someone who lived a few generations earlier that made a golem, and he never makes mention of the Maharal, who was a relative of his. He never makes mention that the Maharal made a golem. So it's one of the rayas that the Maharal didn't make a golem. The other raya is that there's no raya that he did. So, but okay. So, but the Chacham Tzvi writes in that tshuva, in order to count someone to a minion, he's got to be a bar mitzvah, he's got to be Jewish, but he's also got to be human. You know, so if he's not human, like there are certain basics, you know, basic requirements before you can get into the fancy lambdas. He's not human. So if he's not human, you can't count him toward a minion. Period. And the story. So if you Chamar Medina, you want to call it a food? Schnapps is food? Good, it's a food. So it certainly can't be Chamar Medina to make Kiddush on. So that issue may relate to this. Tosus is saying, when do you say Shahakol in medicine if the medicine is a drink? A hot tea with honey, that's a drink. So then it's going to be a shahakol. When do you say whatever bracha the medicine really should be? When it's a food. A food, a drink is always going to be shahakol, otherwise it's going to be whatever bracha it really should be. But then Beis Yosef quotes another possibility. And this is on top of page 2 over here, in Os Beis. He quotes from the Ra, I don't know who it is, Rabbeinu someone, in Pekudas Halaviyah. Shekola merkachos she'eno machol briyam elo l'refua mevarich shahakol. V'yafal gavdu mipero se'ilon kishasisa di'yimei chamesh saminim. V'afilu hachi mevarich shahakol shemen shalidei nigron shayini shafa briyam regilim kach. Would a healthy person ever eat this? That's the question. If a healthy person would sometimes eat this food, even though you're not eating it because you enjoy this food, you're eating it because you're sick, but if a healthy person would ever eat this food, then you follow normal hilchos brachos. But if it's the type of food that no healthy person would ever eat, even though it's delicious, but healthy people don't eat it. Let's say you enjoy that Delsim cough syrup or whatever, but people don't have it when they're not sick. So then the brach is always going to be shahakol. That's what he suggests. That anything that tastes good, that you're having mishum refua, and no healthy person would ever eat it, so that you would say a shakel. But if it's something that a healthy person would eat, you say whatever bracha should be recited on it. Good. However, there's a whole nother approach to the whole thing. Meaning, where we are right now, just to get our bearings over here, is that you definitely make a bracha on medicine that tastes good. Right, that's what we definitely have. That if it's medicine that's not bad, that tastes good, you would definitely make a bracha. Question only so far is, what bracha do you make on medicine that tastes good? So two approaches. One approach is, if it's a drink, always shahakol. If it's a food, figure out the hilchos brachos. You have to study hilchos brachos, figure it out. The other approach is, if it's something that people that are healthy eat, make it normal bracha. If it's something that you're only taking as medicine, even though you enjoy the taste, make a bracha, but let the bracha be a shahakol. Good. However, the Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim, and this is also on page 2, this is in the second paragraph after the bold, Shitas HaRishonim. The Beis Yosef quotes Rabbeinu Yeruchim, where he writes, Shim Shasa Adam, Shum davar l'refua. Typo there. O achal lo yivarech alav. He says, if a person is going to eat or drink anything for the sake of refua, no bracha. Why? So Rabbeinu Yochum says, it starts getting a little strange over here. He says, here's why. She'imu davar asur va'achal shalom makam sakana lo yivarech. If it's something that's not kosher, and you're eating it b'makam sakana, you don't say, you're eating it shalom makom sakana, you're having this refuah, even though you're not dangerously ill, don't say a bracha, you're doing something terrible. And if you are dangerously ill and you have to eat it, gam kein lo yivarech. V'zeh klal. Kol midi dilurfur lo yivarech alav. Anything that's for the sake of medicine, you don't say a bracha on. Very confusing, Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Why is he talking about sakana? Why does he assume we're talking about something not kosher? We're talking about kosher food. I just want to know, do you say a bracha on it? So the key line is what he says at the end. V'zeh klal. Kol dilurfur lo yivarech alav. And he says, I'll prove to you that something that's for refuah, you don't say a bracha. And the Gemara says that if you're choking on something and you need water just to stop choking, you don't say a bracha on the water, assuming you're able to get out of bracha as you're choking. You don't say a bracha on the water. Why not? Because it's purely the refuah. There's no bracha on refuah. What's the problem with Rabbeinu Yeruchim? What? Yes, can I get both Gemaras? We had two Gemaras that both said that you say a bracha. The question is, what bracha? Okay, good, you can argue about what bracha. But they both said you say a bracha. So that's one problem, Beis Yosef says, I got with Rabbeinu Yeruchim, he's against the Gemara. Furthermore, he says, it's so obvious that someone who's eating something not kosher doesn't say a bracha. He says, I don't know, Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana has to eat on Yom Kippur. The Rosh holds you say a bracha. And even the Rambam says they don't say Birch Sanen and Machol Sasurus would agree that a Chola says a bracha on Machol Sasurus. That's always a question. Do you say a bracha if you can eat something not kosher? I was in Rav Schechter's office once by the OU, and they got a phone call from an NCSY kid. So his family is not religious at all, and he's a kid. He's living with his family. He's doing his best. So he wanted to know. His parents don't keep kosher. He has no way to keep kosher. So he wanted to know, should he say a bracha on the food? Right? This is a major machlokas rishonim. You can eat machlokas asuras. Do you say a bracha on the food? He's not eating makom sakana. It's not a sakana. But he's not ready to support himself or have that fight with his parents yet. When he goes out on his own, he'll start keeping kosher. He just can't do it yet. So do you say a bracha? He wanted to know. I think also he had even a bigger chab. Oh, he wanted to know, should he wash for every meal? So that way he'll say a bracha on the bread and he won't be nichnas into the shaila of whether you say a bracha on the pork also. Because the bracha is always going to be on the bread, so it'll be bracha on the ikra poter setfela. Unbelievable. Rosh Hashanah was just crying the whole time. I don't even remember what the answer was. He was just crying. So the Ben Yeruchim is very, very difficult to understand, and the Beis Yosef completely rejects the Rabbeinu Yeruchim for that reason. In Shulchan Aruch we paskin in Siman Reish Dalet Tziv Ches, Kol Ha'ochel V'Mashkin Shadam Ochel V'Shosu L'Refuah, anything that you eat or drink for the sake of refuah, Im Tamam Tov Achayich Nana Mehem Mevarech Lem Tchilu V'Sof. If they taste good and you enjoy them, you say a bracha. Now, interestingly, it doesn't say which bracha to say, but he says, if you have a medicine, and he says you're doing it l'refuah, meaning you're not taking it because it's a food and it just happens to be that it's giving you refuah, you're doing it l'refuah, as long as it tastes good, and it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch, that even if it's not a machal b'riyim, it's not something that a healthy person would ever eat, but it happens to taste good. So l'chor, that's clearly against Rabbeinu Yeruchim, right? Rabbeinu Yeruchim said there's no bracha on anything that's lirafua. And the Mishabura over there explains that the chiddush is that even though you're not hungry and you're only eating it because of the onus of having to have this refuah, that you would still say a bracha on it. Which is interesting because the very next line in Shulchan Aruch says that if someone forces, if you have another sort of onus that forces you to eat, you would not recite a bracha on it. Right? The Ramah says, Imansu lecha lo lishtos, avagav da'achech nana min menu. Let's say you're not interested in eating and someone stuffs food down your mouth. They're just forcing you. And you enjoy it because it tastes good. No bracha because it's an onus. So apparently there's a difference between an onus of I'm sick and therefore I need to have this versus an onus of someone from outside of myself forcing it down my throat.
Seems to be talking about when he talks about a machal or a mashka.
Meaning, he's talking about like something that's not a machal brim, that's a medicine, and the Shulchan Aruch is talking about a machal brim, you're saying. The problem is twofold. First of all, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kola uchlen v'mashkin shod machal v'shosu l'fua im tamim tov v'achich nenen mehem. As long as you're getting hanaf from them, which makes it sound like it's not a food. Meaning, even though it's not a food, as long as you're getting hanaf from it, you would still say a bracha.
I mean, that sounds exactly like the But if we're trying to understand Rabbi Yeruchim about how he can go negative,
Rabbi, I'm saying Rabbi Yeruchim, and meaning what I'm trying to show you is that what I'm trying to suggest is that I think it's clear that the Shulchan Aruch is talking about even something that's not a food, and that Rabbi Yeruchim is talking about even something that is a food. So I'm starting with the Shulchan Aruch. I think it's clear that he's talking about even something that's not a food, because if it is a food, it's pashut that hachayich ne'ena mehem. It's a food. Meaning the fact that he says even as so long as a chayich nana mehem makes sound like even though it's not a food but you're enjoying it so you say a bracha. On the Rabbi Yeruchim, his raya is from taking a cup of water. So if his raya is from taking a cup of water, it would sound like he's talking about even something that is a food. Right? So it doesn't seem that distinction would help over here. Now as far as the question of why is it that if I'm only taking it because I'm sick, so that sort of onus is not mechayiv me to say a bracha. I'm sorry, is yes mechayiv me to say a bracha. But if someone's forcing it down my throat, that's not mechayiv me to say a bracha. Someone holds a gun to my hand and says, you must eat this. So I eat it, I enjoy it, but I don't say a bracha. Why the difference? So there are two tshuvas on this topic from contemporary poskim, one from this generation, one from the last generation, who are like, argue on polar opposites in terms of many, many details of this halacha. But it happens to be they're both simin yivches in the respective svarim. And they both are tshuvas minchas something. The tshuvas minchas shlomo, chelik alef simin yivches, and the tshuvas minchas asher, chelik bey simin yivches, both discuss this topic. Minchas shlomo is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. He says that someone who eats something l'refua does not make a bracha unless he's having kavana l'shem achila also. If your entire kavana is l'refua, you would not say a bracha. Whoa! So what he's saying is, Shulchan Aruch said that if it tastes good, but it's but you're only having it for refua, but it tastes good, so you say a bracha. Rosh Hashanah plays that down a little bit. He says, it's not that if it tastes good you say a bracha. If it has to be, and therefore you're having it a little bit for the taste also. You're not only having it for refuah, but ein achinami. If the only reason you're having it is for refuah, no bracha at all, which is a very great chiddush, that because that's against the pashas of the Shulchan Aruch and it's against the pashas of the Gemara, right? In Minchas Asher, he says no. The difference is there are two types of onus. There's onus of what you choose to do because of the situation you find yourself in, and there's onus where there's an external force forcing you to do something. When it's an onus of what you choose to do, so then you say a bracha, because it's not really an onus. You could choose to remain sick and not have the food. But when someone is actually forcing you to do this action, someone else is compelling this action. You're not the one that's choosing to do this action. Someone else is compelling this action. That's a different type of onus. You have such a similar chilik in the Reb Chaim by Yaharig Val Yavar. You have such a similar chilik whether an onus is... what if I explain the Rambams? I'm not remembering it well now. But the Rambam distinguishes between a case where someone holds a gun to a person's head and says, "You have to do this avera, avodah zara, let's say, or I'm going to kill you," versus a person who needs the avodah zara l'refuah. Right? That there's a difference between the two. Why the difference between the two? Avodah Zara that you need for refuah, you're the one that's choosing to do the Avodah Zara. Meaning you happen to need a refuah, you're the one that's choosing. Someone's holding a gun to your head, they're forcing you to do that Avera. What's the difference? The Rambam says in either case, it's Yar Gal Yava, right? But I think the Rambam says that when someone holds the gun to your head, if you make the wrong choice, we always know that there are three Yarg Val Yavar. Someone holds a gun to your head and says, do the Avodah Zara, I'm going to kill you, right? So we know you have to take the bullet. Okay, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't, though. We should never know from such nisyonos. Let's say someone doesn't take the bullet. So is he nanash for the Avera? Or do you say, no, Anas Rachman Apatre, he was onus. So Rambam says, Anas Rachman Apatre. What do you mean? But he did the wrong thing. Yeah, but his maisa was ba'on. Someone was forcing him to do it. So I thought, right, this is something. So I think the Reb Chaim, I think it's Reb Chaim that explains that that's the difference. That if I'm just sick and the only way to get better is by doing the Avodah Zarah, so I'm choosing to do the Avodah Zarah. So there's no onus rachman apatri. I'm chayiv, absolutely chayiv for doing the Avodah Zarah. But if someone holds a gun to my head and says, you do the Avodah Zarah, or else I'm going to kill you, and I choose to do the, and I do the Avodah Zarah. That wasn't my choice. That was the guy who's holding the gun. That was his choice. Onus rachman apatri. So maybe the wrong decision, but he'd say onus rachman apatri. Very similar chilik, Rav Asher suggests over here. It's mamish, the same chilik. That I'm sick, I'm not feeling well, so I take the medication, so that's my own choice. But someone is forcing me to eat, that's not my own choice, and that I would not say a bracha on. Right, that's true as well. Right, it would seem to be more of a derech achil. That's true as well. Now, what if you have something that is? Let's see. I don't want to. What time is it? I don't know what to do, what not to do. All right, let's say we'll just go in order. Let's say you have something that's not derech achil at all, like pills. So that, for sure, you don't make a bracha. Your kavanah is not at all to fill your stomach, not at all to enjoy the food. And in Sefer Zosa Bracha, quotes from Shlomo Zalman, even if the Advil has like a Swedish, sweet-ish, not from Sweden, sweet-ish coating to it, you do not say a bracha on that because it's obvious that that's nothing to you. That's, it's not derech achila, it has no kavanah achila. That's for sure true. But sometimes very often, you have a medication that the medication itself tastes disgusting and they sweeten it up with sugar or with something else. They give it to, so the actual active ingredients are not a food at all and you would never treat it like a food and you would never say a bracha on it. But then they sweeten it up with other things. So do you say a bracha on that or not? You see, in the case of the Gemara, it was two food ingredients that were mixed together. One of them had therapeutic value and the other one didn't. In this case, no. There's something that has therapeutic value that tastes awful and something that has no therapeutic value but tastes good. So there are three logical possibilities of what the halacha would be over here. One possibility is no bracha. One possibility is bracha on the sweetener, because that's the only part that's a food. And the other possibility is, no, you look at the whole thing now. The whole thing is made with grain, let's say, because the active ingredient is made with grain, and it tastes good. So mela, the bracha is going to be mezonos, even though the part that tastes good is not the part that's made with grain. Right? So how do we approach this? So this is a machlokas, a very contemporary poskim. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he says, you don't make a bracha on the ikker, and therefore you make a bracha on the tafel. Meaning, the medicine itself is disgusting. You would never say a bracha on that, it's not a food. What would you say a bracha on? The sweetener. So you make a bracha, whatever bracha the sweetener should be. I thought whenever there's an ikker and a tafel, you don't make a bracha on the tafel. No, there's no such rule. When there's an ikker and a tafel, the bracha of the ikker patters the tafel. But if there's no bracha on the ikker, so then you got to make a bracha on the tafel. That's Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quote. He quotes it from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. It's interesting because there's a chakira about ikker and tafel. How exactly does that work? I have an ikker and a tafel, and I only need one bracha. So I only say a bracha on the ikker that patters the tafel. So how does that work exactly? Is it that both the ikker and the tafel require a bracha, and the bracha that I make on the ikker goes on both? It goes on the ikker and it goes on the tafel. Or do you say, no, whenever something is a tafel, it's not chashuv enough to require a bracha. So it doesn't need a bracha bichlal. The bracha is on the ikker. And this would be the nafkamina, right? Meaning here, the ikker doesn't require a bracha. So does the tafel, by definition, need a bracha now? Because the tafel normally gets covered with the bracha of the ikker. I don't have a bracha on the ikker, so now I need to say a bracha on the tafel. Or do you say, no, a tafel is never chashuv enough to require a bracha, regardless of whether you're making a bracha on the ikker or not. A tafel is never chashuv enough, it's just not chashuv, so you wouldn't say a bracha. Another nafkamina, let's say you have ikker and tafel. Let's say you hold cookie dough ice cream. I don't know what are the common ikker tafel questions. Let's say cookie dough ice cream. So let's say you assume that the cookie dough is the ikker. Let's say you assume that way. So it's a mezonos. Can you say a mezonos and take a bite of the ice cream first without the cookie dough? If you say that the bracha on the ikar patters the tafel also, so yeah, why not? That mezonos went on the tafel also. But if you say no, the bracha on the ikar is on the ikar. It's just the tafel doesn't require a bracha. Tafel doesn't need a bracha at all. So you can't say mezonos and then eat the ice cream. You got to say mezonos and then eat the cookie dough. Right? You disagree?
I just don't understand the question from the beginning, because in the medicine, it's not as though there's the ikar, there's the tafel.
So this is Rav Asher Weiss's big time on this whole thing. So Rav Asher Weiss says, what are you talking, ikar and tafel? Ikar and tafel is where you have two distinct things. Where you could see, that's the ikar, that's the tafel, and I'm eating them together. I have cereal and milk. I see the cereal, I see the milk, I see an ikar, I see a tafel. I see the ice cream, I see the cookie dough. Over here, it's one thing. What kind of ikar and tafel? He says, I never heard of such a thing, that there should be such an ikar and tafel. But he didn't really never hear of such a thing, because he points out that there is a Ramah in Siman Reish Beis that talks about yayin v'shechar that are mixed. And the Ramah talks about what's the ikar, what's the tafel. We're talking about two liquids that are mixed. It's not like you could identify that's the ikar, that's the tafel. So he says, no, that's different, because it starts as two foods that are mixed together. So there you could have an ikar and tafel. But over here, one of them is, there's a food ingredient and a non-food ingredient, and together they make up a single thing. This whole ikar and tafel thing, he doesn't like the whole ikar and tafel thing. But it's essentially your ha'ara. So if there's no ikar and tafel, so you have a food, it tastes good. If there are ingredients that are chamesh min ha'dagan, say mezonos. Meaning the whole thing, as whenever you have any other food, you don't look at every ingredient of the food and say, oh, that ingredient tastes awful. I would never eat that ingredient. So, no, you look at the food in total, and they're all ingredients toward making reasonably good food. It could be... That Rav Shlomo Zalman might even agree to Rav Asher's Yisod, but he'll say that when it comes to medication, it's still ki'ilu, it's distinct, because the to'elas of each ingredient is so clear. See, normally you make a food, all the ingredients come together to make one nice food. Over here, it's so obvious that the fact that it tastes like orange or grape is the function of the inactive ingredient. And everything else is the function of the active ingredient. So it could be that you would still have ikar v'tafel, even though in Metzius, you know, physically it's a single unit, but it would still be that it's ikar and tafel. Okay, the bottom line, la halacha, in terms of taking medication, anything that is a food that healthy people eat, you certainly would say a bracha, whatever bracha you would say when it's healthy. Something that's a medicine, but tastes good, machlokas rishonim, whether it's shahakol, or whatever bracha it should really be. The Ramah says shahakol. Most of the poskim say not that way, whatever bracha it should be. Anything that is disgusting, but it's sweetened with some sort of sweetener, so Rav Asher Weiss, Rav Neubert say no bracha. Rav Shlomo Zalman says yes bracha on the tafel. Tzitz Eliezer says, you know, it says in Shulchan Aruch, before you say take a medication, you're supposed to say some Yehi Ratzon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should make the medication work. That will work for your Birch Sanan to solve the problem over here. Okay, we don't have time to get into why, but that's what we suggest.